Welcome back, 517, 730 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. And time to check in with Washington Times Redskins reporter. What? This time of year? Yes, Rich Campbell is on the line. Hello, Rich. How are you?
Hey, Andy. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. The NFL scouting combine coming up. No need for the Redskins to look at quarterbacks this year, huh?
That's right. And normally this is the time of year where everybody gets fired up about quarterback prospects in the draft and which quarterback the Redskins are going to try to fill that spot and have the be the franchise cornerstone for the next 10 years. And that debate is off the table with Robert Griffin. And even though Robert had the knee surgery, he is progressing in his recovery and he's on track to be their quarterback for a long time. And, of course, we all saw how well he played in winning Offensive Rookie of the Year honors. So the Redskins can focus on some other details and try to build on the division championship from last season.
Yeah. This is the venue where RG3 impressed everyone with his speed last year, isn't it?
Yeah, I think people had a pretty good idea from the games that he played in college how fast he was, but it was the first time where the nation really got to see him line up as a sprinter and run the straight line 40-yard dash. He had been training while he was a kid to make the Olympics, basically. He was on the track to be an Olympic hurdler, or at least compete for Olympic spots. And he had to give that dream up when he committed to football and had to put on some more weight. But he was always a great sprinter. We finally got to see that last year at the combine when he ran the 40-yard dash, 4.41 seconds, and just really solidified his status as an elite runner and the person that the Redskins were going to be interested in once they traded up that spot at number two at the top of the draft.
Yeah, I can still see that sly grin on the face of Mike Shanahan when RG3 did that. It's pretty funny. All right, so the Redskins, I guess what, spend their time looking at other positions, and what might they be?
Well, they need some help on defense. So the Redskins had the top-ranked offense in the league in yards per play last season, and even though there are some positions at which they can improve on that side of the ball, I think defense is the greatest need, and you start by looking at the secondary. We talked all season about the big passing plays they gave up, and I think they're going to really focus on the back end. Safety is a position that's widely regarded as very deep in this draft. And the Redskins do not have a first-round pick because of that trade up to get Robert Griffin last year. So they'll pick for the first time in this April's draft at 51st overall.
That's wow.
A lot later than the normal. They're going to have to wait till pick two. But from talking to draft analysts, it sounds like there will be quality players at safety still available at that time. And so that would fit a need for Redskins to have.
Hmm. All right. The salary cap presents a problem. What's the secret to working around that this year?
Well, the Redskins have some pretty smart people in their front office. If you recall, for years, they always spent very, I don't want to say boundlessly, but they spent a lot of money in the offseason for years in a previous regime, and they always managed to get under the salary cap when it was through creative contract structuring, renegotiating deals and restructuring deals, sort of to move money around and make it work. And so the Redskins Vice President of Football Administration, Eric Schaefer, he's been part of the organization for going on 10 years now, and he does a really good job. So I think he's going to be at work this weekend in Indianapolis talking to agents, trying to figure out how to move the money around. But I think the one thing that's always come out in the end is that the Redskins have been able to get under the cap and make enough moves that they're still active. I don't think they necessarily just sit back, it'll be really interesting to see how much room they end up with, and as an extension of that, what they're able to do with it.
All right. Well, who's on the chopping block? Santana Moss. Who else?
Well, I think you first have to look at D'Angelo Hall, because the reason the Redskins were penalized $18 million in salary cap space was because they moved D'Angelo Hall's bonus money to the uncapped year in 2010. And so one of the reasons they're in salary cap jail right now is because they set themselves up so that they could part with D'Angelo Hall this offseason without any dead money left. So if they parted with D'Angelo Hall, they would save $8 million against the salary cap.
Wow.
That's a lot of money to save.
Yeah.
And so you have to start there. And Santana Moss is an interesting case, because his salary cap number for next season is $6.17 million. They wouldn't save all of that by parting with him, But you know, he has a $4.5 million base salary, non-guaranteed. So there's considerable savings with Santana. Santana, I believe, is 33 right now. But the thing is that he produced at a very high level last year. Same with D'Angelo Hall towards the end of the season. And so the Redskins have some really difficult decisions to make because it's not like these high-priced guys are not playing well. I mean, they've got great production. And Santana Moss and D'Angelo Hall were both important contributors to the division championship, so they're going to have to really decide where their priorities are.
Yeah. Hey, you make mention in your article about the fact that we could use another running back for a triple threat. Is that what I got?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the upgrades that are available to them on offense, and you know, we saw the Redskins run a really dynamic triple option last year with Robert Griffin, and they used Alfred Morris in that triple option. And then they also rotated some receivers through there, Brandon Banks, Josh Morgan a little bit, Leonard Hankerson on occasion, but they didn't really have that speedy, flashy, home run hitting type of running back that could really just break a long one because of his speed. And I think if the Redskins added that player, they wouldn't have to use receivers in that role, and it would become even more dynamic. They have a player on the roster right now in Roy Hulley Jr., who missed all of last season with a foot injury. If he's healthy, then I think Hulley fits that role, but if he's not, or if they can't be assured that he's healthy, I think looking in the draft for one in the later rounds would be a really good idea.
Yeah. All right, I know you mentioned this at the onset, but RG3's leg is coming along. Is he still I know he said he'd be back for game one. Are you buying that?
I am buying that right now, actually. The people that I talk to, they're all optimistic, and it can be a little bit difficult to wade through this optimism and try to really figure out what's genuine. But I just get the sense from talking to people and knowing Robert and his work ethic that all this optimism really is justified, really is genuine, and that, you know, he's progressing steadily. But the thing that people have to remember is that, you know, a setback could occur at any time. I mean, the next rep in a weightlifting session or the next time he runs, it's always one step away from a setback. So I think any type of prediction for his return is way too premature, and I think fans just need to be comforted by the fact that it's going well so far, but understand that anything can change and nothing is set in stone.
Yeah. All right, and finally today I'm going to throw a wrench at you. I did a little blurb earlier on this woman, Lauren Silberman, who is out there to prove that she could be a kicker in the NFL, although her comments on, I think it was ESPN, I'll let you hear them. Hold on.
Well, you know, I realize that I may not make an NFL team this year, but for me, you know, I'm expecting to have fun, to meet really interesting people, and hopefully perfect my technique from the other tremendous kickers that will be in attendance.
All right, so she's going to be out there. Any shot at all of her making an NFL team?
I mean, I don't know how well she kicked. I mean, if she can kick well, you know, then you can make the team.
Well, but here's the problem.
Kick,
here's
then,
the problem.
You can't. And you know, the kicking competitions are so competitive.
Yeah.
They're so intense. I mean, remember, Redskins waived Graham Gonneau in training camp, and Gonneau ended up catching on with the Carolina Panthers, but it wasn't until later in the season, and that's just how good the kickers are in the NFL. And so, look, I mean, there's a lot at stake for all these teams, a lot of money, a lot of fame, and fortune, all that stuff. So if you can win games, they'll find a place for you. And if you can't, then that's what it comes down to. I don't think, you know, if you're talking about the fact that she's a woman or publicity or anything like that, I mean, you just have to kick well.
Yeah. Well, evidently, she really doesn't have football on her resume, if I understand correctly. She's a former soccer player, and it almost seems as if it's a gimmick, you know, the old 15 minutes of fame thing. But I guess we'll find out, won't we?
Yeah, and that's sort of problematic. Then, you know, I think the competition sort of speaks for itself in that case, and then you move on and the story's over.
Yeah. All right, Rich, well, keep us posted as any new developments, whether it be on RG3 or any kind of new talent coming to the Washington Redskins. We'll appreciate it.
Oh, you got it, Andy. Thanks a lot.
All right, take care. Rich Campbell, Washington Times Redskins reporter. 527, 730 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.